Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Modern.
Welcome back to the Masters of Modern podcast. I'm Jeff Goldblum. This is Indiana Jones. That's what we're doing here for the Halloween episode of the Masters of Modern podcast. I'm very excited to be here. Michael, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. We're going to talk about the top 10 Rakdos cards in Modern. Spooky subject for our Halloween episode.
Spooktacular edition. Beard bros here together on the show. You've got an impressive beard.
Yeah.
I wish that when I had come into the office today, you had said, like in Thor voice, "Oh, so you've copied my beard." And
yeah, that would have been a good. I mean, I've seen your beard for a while now, and the first time I saw it, it startled me. Like there was no one liner in me. I was like, "What?
Whoa!"
What is this?
Michael.
I'm back.
And Michael.
And an Dilophosaurus.
I am so sorry. You've been replaced.
We'll miss you.
I have been joined by a dinosaur. Welcome back. Spooky Dab.
Yeah.
Here we can save
this. I'm here.
Now we can save it.
We can save it. We can hit the save button because now the world that's listening at our live stream can actually know that I'm here. It's not a surprise.
Look at this. I've got
Let me go find the link to start sharing it. Thank you, Michael. We love you.
I've got a sweet hat now.
Don't take a fake whipped cream thing and get caught in the rain.
I got a sweet hat. I got I got glasses and a beard.
You ready to adventure?
We're not even the same person.
Wow, there's so much sound
above us. So much sound and so much noise.
Oh yeah, get ready.
Look at you.
This is great. This is such a good. This is so. Bam.
It's really good.
I'm like really happy with this costume. Yeah. I got this in a Zuko costume from Avatar: The Last Airbender, and now I kind of might just wear this on actual Halloween. Or just wear this on every day. Really excited. Big shout out to Tappy because I think there's at some point a group dinosaur cosplay that is going to happen in the future. I'm very
sad.
Excited.
I feel like Michael just skulked off. You just kicked him out
I know,
so hard.
I know. Well, he has kidnapped the podcast for a whole month. And now that his reign of spooky terror, you know, you're back and healthy. I'm back and in the United States of America.
Yeah.
And I'm a dinosaur.
I feel like I want to quote tweet the one that I just tweeted with me and Michael, and now I want to just make it you and me actually.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
That feels like the way we
Hello, chat. I know you guys are here and enjoying this ridiculous costume, hopefully. Please put a like. I got sunglasses. I'm obviously the cool one. You got just nerd glasses.
I'm wearing a dumb hat.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm wearing a dumb hat.
It's so good to be back, guys. I'm gonna make sure in just a second here that when we're like properly live, I'm paying attention to everybody and interacting. Because truthfully, Alex and I have not done a show together in like 6 weeks. We started this podcast. Well, we didn't actually start it, but I joined it 7 episodes in 5 years ago.
Yep.
And we are now, you know, we're still doing the show, but I got hurt. Alex flew around the world. I physically couldn't stand for a while. And both back in town. We're really excited to be back. We're talking about the top five, the top 10 Rakdos cards, each of us our own list. So I think I'm going to let Alex do another clap, an official start to the show.
By the way, big shout out to my Alolan Vulpix that I saved from Dallas Toy Fair. It was in the trash, and I saved her. And now she's hanging out with us on this episode. Someone has asked us to host naked. I feel like that would be inappropriate.
Yeah. That feels less.
If our Patreon gets to $5,000 a month, we'll do an episode naked. But like from the top up.
Really? Will we?
I'll do a shirtless episode. $5,000 a month? I'll do a lot for $5,000 a month.
this podcast is so inappropriate for so many levels.
Conveniently, I am prepared. I have somewhere in here my list of top 10 Rakdos cards.
Now, I think I know you're number one. I believe I made my top 10 list of my Rakdos cards also. And I just, based on games I have played against in Magic the Gathering, I think that I actually know which one it is.
I would just say never expect to assume what a Dilophosaurus is going to do, all right?
Yeah, there you go.
You know, you think I'm a cute little dinosaur that's going to play fetch, doesn't have the frills out, and then whap-bam.
Yeah.
Spitting acid in your face. I've, like, debated figuring out how to actually pull that off.
Spitting acid in people's faces?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is an episode that has been a long time coming. Obviously, this is the Masters of Modern podcast. We talk about Magic, specifically the modern format, on this show. For a long time, in the first few years, we did a series of the best, you know, 10 cards from each color. Mm-hmm. Then we started a best 10 cards in each color combination. And today, that series continues with the spookiest color combo in the land.
Rakdos. He stole my spooky voice. I don't hate it, though. I'm for it.
How do you feel about the fact that there's a sweet Rakdos card over your right shoulder there?
Is that a Rakdos card on your list?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not.
Confirmed. Okay. So make sure to follow us on Twitter. I am at Kess Wiley.
I'm at Ben Bateman Media.
We're at the MM Cast.
This is at Cool Hat.
Make sure to do all the following things. If you're watching on iTunes right now, if you're watching on YouTube right now, we're live chatting.
Yeah.
Make sure to do the thumbs up button. It really does help this podcast do well. The more thumbs up, the better. Also comment, leave a chat. We'll be talking to you right now. There's a thing called Super Chat. I have no idea how it works. Ben's better at explaining
what it does. We're going to demonstrate it right now. Why are we doing Rakdos cards? Why is Rakdos spooky?
Rakdos is spooky because they're like the carnival demon happy-go fun time. So it's like there are maybe other spooky colors, like Orzhov is pretty spooky. They got all the ghosts. But okay. Rakdos is more about like the festival side of death and scariness. And I feel like that is much more of a Halloween-themed guild. I would say if I were to rank guilds based on their level of spookiness or Halloween-ness, it would be... Rakdos, followed by Orzhov, followed by, I guess, Dimir.
Okay.
Followed by Golgari. But I feel like Golgari could be over Dimir. They're kind of like tied because neither of them are that spooky.
So that's because Slideshow on Acid just said a very special hat. Thank you. So the quality is good. Let's see here. Bearded Ben looks like my middle school band director. Thank you.
That's a compliment to the middle school band director.
That's nice of you to say that. So you can see Action Industries, which is a brand that I own with Andrew Guy, just super chatted, the very first super chat. Basically, we're going to do this live show. We're going to talk about our top 10 Rakdos cards. And throughout the show, if you guys want to comment, you want your comment read on air, you want us to make sure we notice it, that's the best way to do it. The super chat is a terrific way to actually support the content creators that you love, the people that you support. Obviously, patreon.com/themmcast is a great place to support us. But if you want to do it live on the show... Super Chat's an awesome way to do it, and we haven't done that many live streams, so it's not something that we've engaged in as much, but if you do want to do it, it's great. We're very excited to be here to talk about this, and I'm really happy to be back here with you, man. I mean,
I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you. I've podcasted many hours with you, and it's weird that the show continues on in weeks that we're not together, and it could do it for 6 weeks.
I mean, and that's a big shout-out to Michael, actually. I mean, Michael handled the podcast like a champ for a whole month. He took it over. I mean, we're really excited that we're now there's three co-hosts of the podcast. It'll never be like all three of, we could probably do all three at once, but we don't have the equipment yet for that. But it'll definitely be nice to have kind of ins and outs and being able to kind of make sure the content keeps coming for you guys. Plus, he does really good content episodes. I mean, like his strategy focus is bar none. Super hyped.
We are taking questions, EPM. It's a lot of times to ask the same question. Is that your clever way of beating the super chat by asking the same question 9 times in a row?
Don't beat the super chat. Just use the super chat.
We are taking questions. We just read it on air, so we will take questions throughout the episode. But more than that, we really would like to just know what you guys think as far as the top Rakdos cards. I know. Did you ask this earlier? I want to know how is the audio quality? We are using kind of a new setup this week for the live stream because we tried to address what people were saying last week that it was kind of room tone echoey. So we have a mic right here in front of us now that should be picking up pretty strong audio. Let us know what you guys think. Let's do a couple quick shout outs before we get into, are you going to quote tweet another quote tweet? I would like to know what shout outs you were excited to give, Alex. Do you want to give shout outs to your own Twitter at Kess Wiley?
We did that already.
We just talked about Patreon. That's all.
No, we did the Twitter thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you do it? And I wasn't paying attention.
I said, I'm at Kess Wiley, and I pointed at you, and you're like, I'm at Ben Beaton Media.
Oh, and I made a dumb hat joke.
Yeah. You should follow me on Instagram. I don't know why you would do that, but that exists. Yeah. Also, I have a TikTok. Really, anywhere where you type in Kess Wiley, I'm the one that shows up. So just do that.
Fair enough.
I guess shout out to, if you are wanting, after the show is done, Olivia is doing a live Commander stream on Twitch. That's cool. The good one to check out. Big shout out to Tappy Toe Claws for inspiring my dinosaur status currently that I'm living in.
Yeah. Sideshow on Acid says, I'm too poor for Super Chat. I emptied my savings on cardboard cutouts of Ben. Thank you, again. That's really nice of you to do. Very cool. I didn't know that was something that you could order. If somebody's making a killing online with cardboard cutouts of
me. It's me. Man, you don't you don't pay for these dinosaur costumes with nothing. I've been selling cutouts for you for a whole year. It's great.
That's fair.
Actually, there's a $30 level where people get cool free stuff on Patreon. And one person has donated, and so they've gotten like cool drop dot dice, super party bottle was sent out. I think I might send out like a cardboard cutout of the two of us.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah, and like Michael too.
Because we can make them here. So getting on to the subject of magic, we are really excited to talk about top 10 Rakdos cards, and I'm just going to jump in first. I'm going to start the conversation here with my number 10 pick. My number 10 pick for best Rakdos cards all in, in the world. And number 10 for me, Dreadbore.
Okay.
Kind of medium card.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it's Return to Ravnica is when it was originally printed. It's sorcery, black, red, destroy target creature or planeswalker.
I have it way higher than you.
Well, I mean, it's fair. I mean, I guess Dreadbore is a good card probably because of the way that it interacts with planeswalkers specifically. Obviously, the analogous card will be probably somewhere on our lists as well. It just doesn't take care of planeswalkers, but we'll see where that goes for us.
Have you seen the planeswalkers in Modern right now? Have you seen them?
But if you're going off of like right now, the best I like to include historically. Like that's part of the conversation.
I mean, I have some historic consideration as well, where planeswalkers have also been really good.
Okay, I will give you here's a frame of reference for you. I can tell you one card that didn't make my top 10.
Okay.
And it's because of how good it is right now, and that's Demonic Dread, because that card has been good, but isn't really good anymore because the deck that wants to play that card doesn't really play it anymore.
Okay.
So that's kind of an indication of like. I just think that the card Dreadbore being sorcery speed is fine. It's good. I know some decks play it as a one or sometimes even a two of, but it's not like a premier removal spell. It's not a premier piece of interaction anymore. Mm-hmm. And it never really has been. So that's why it's number 10 for me, but maybe it's higher for you. That's what I say is my number 10 Rakdos card. What is your number 10 Rakdos card?
Cut to Ribbons.
You put Cut to Ribbons?
Yeah, Cut/Ribbons.
Really?
Yeah, it seemed some play. I mean, like, actually, like, the one thing to be remember, and actually Rakdos, I think, is the second best color in... Rakdos is the second best color in Modern.
In terms of color combinations. Well, there's a lot of interactive spells,
right? Yeah, yeah. So, like, if people listen to the Blue-Green episode we did, which is better now than it was. We got Oko and Neoform since we recorded that episode 2 years ago.
And also Coatl.
We got a bunch of good blue-green cards. So blue-green, like it has increased in status, but when we were originally doing these, the last couple times we did these, like, it's actually surprising how quickly the quality drops off. I'm surprised Dreadbore is low as you had it, as I said. But Cut to Ribbons, if people don't know, it's one red, do 4 damage to target creature, and then you can flash it back to do...
Black X.
Do...
X, I think they lose X life. So here's the thing about Cut to Ribbons. I do play Cut to Ribbons in my Jund deck in Highlander, because I like that card a lot. Mm-hmm. But in Modern...
I've seen it see play in both in Dredge-esque decks. I've seen it see play in Jund as well, because just the interaction with being able to put it in your graveyard and still use it is valuable. The card I didn't include on my top 10 list over it was Slaughter Games.
Also missed my list. That was in my honorable mention.
Which like was a much more relevant card back in the days of Splinter Twin and Birthing Pod, but like hasn't seen play since then.
So my number 9... Mm-hmm. Lightning Skelemental. This is a card that has burst onto the scene since the printing of Modern Horizons. Mm-hmm. Lightning Skelemental is, I believe, red, red, black for a 6/1 trample haste. When it deals combat damage to an opponent, that opponent discards 2 cards. It's an elemental skeleton. It's a rare.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, basically, this card is a riff on obviously Ball Lightning, and it's basically including Ball Lightning and stamping the card Lightning onto it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like the whole point.
I mean, it's literally what it is. They said it. When we designed this card, we made Lightning plus Lightning Elemental.
Yeah, it's a really, really cool
lightning
card.
Ball.
And this card has shown up. So with Unearth being printed into Modern through Modern Horizons, you got a bunch of these really, really cool decks that were playing Unearth and were playing Lightning's Elemental. Really, really strong Rakdos decks. I actually think that's one of the places that's the most interesting to talk about this list. Rakdos decks have really become good in the last year. Like, there weren't really Rakdos decks in Modern as much until like a year ago. And some of the stuff I just talked about mattered a lot.
Do you mean like straight up Rakdos, or do you mean including the color combo of red black? Because I would say
not including Jund and Mardu, specifically Rakdos decks. Because obviously you have the printing of Unearth and this card have both affected it. You have a couple other cards that are a little higher on my list that play in a tribal.
Sure.
Black red was pushed a little bit more, and there's definitely very interesting things to do with like the different Pyromancer decks and Bedlam Reveler and the way that it interacted. Obviously, this card right here, Claim Fame, is an interesting card. So
there- yeah, I would agree that straight up Rakdos decks were not a thing, but I think that red black as a color combo has been extremely influential to the format since the beginning. But yeah. I mean, Jund is a red black deck with some green and or with a lot of green, but then you know Mardu obviously and Grixis, all three of those color combos. Which is how many fingers I have right now. all are that. For those who are listening to this podcast extremely and only in audio form, I am dressed like entirely like a Dilophosaurus, which is the dinosaur from Jurassic Park that spits tar at what's his face? Newman's eyes. Wayne Knight. Wayne's Newman from Seinfeld.
Drops it.
Yeah, yeah.
It almost looks like a bearded dragon, almost as though you're bearded. That would make two of us because I...
No.
Because
no beard. I'm anti-beard on this podcast. It's too many. Y'all need to shave. All right. My number 9 is Rakdos Drum.
I'm glad you put it on your list. I love this card. I put it a little higher on my list. A little bit.
Okay.
But I'm glad you did because I think
it was higher. I don't know if we had done this episode 2 years ago, it would have been higher. I think that it has fallen out of favor. I think it's just like... doesn't do quite enough, and what like before where it once again now going back to that Splinter Twin era, it saw the most play when people were going infinite with Splinter Twin. You could get them with this, right? You could just be like, you lose, and then on top of that, it added some graveyard hate. I actually think this card's a great standout in Pioneer and something that people should be considering there because copycat combo is so common there.
Yeah.
And it's once again when someone is going infinite with creatures, this is the best card to kind of play against them because then you just get them, right? You win.
So just to explain to everybody what Rakdos Drum does, in case you guys are wondering, Rakdos Drum is black red for an instant. Choose one, exile all cards from target player's graveyard, destroy target artifact, or each creature deals one damage to its controller. So it's good for a lot of the reasons you mentioned, and I can talk a little bit more about some of my. Richie Elefante just joined. What is this a list of? It is top 10 Rakdos cards in Modern, each of us presenting our pick.
We're at number 9, and I picked Rakdos Charm. He picked Ball Lightning. Lightning Skelemental.
So I'll jump on from your Rakdos Charm to my number 8.
Well, quickly, we had some questions from the chat. I wanted to get through it. Okay, do you think that Wizards of the Coast should ban all infinite, semi-infinite, insta-win combos in Pioneer to truly make it a unique format as opposed to being a mini Modern? The short answer is no. I don't think that's possible, period. I don't think that would be something they could accomplish. And I also don't think... You know, you generally are getting rid of my Alolan Vulpix. It's messed up.
You could not see our podcast logo.
But basically, the moral of the story is that they would be impossible. I mean, like, where do you start the line? There's so many different combos available. And there are players that like playing in that style. So I think that that's always going to be there. I think getting rid of fetch lands is a big significant difference. And they will get rid of some of those combos. Probably, I don't think they're going to get rid of it. I don't think as a rule that's possible to even enforce if you wanted to. All right, now,
number... Ben Neem just said here, just joined and immediately liked the videos, so Ben doesn't have to remind me. I really appreciate that, Ben. It is something that I'm going to just... It reminds me to say to everybody, we have about 70 people watching live right now and 38 thumbs up. Honestly, guys, it costs $0 to hit the thumbs up button. It is the single most helpful thing to get this video higher in the standings if people are watching it. So... just hit the thumbs up. If you're watching right now, that's all we ask you to do. It's really, really awesome. And if you have things you want us to read, Super Chat is available. Let's move on to the next part of the list.
I'm gonna jump. No Vulpix. Everyone is sad. Put it back. Chat, let us know if you want the Vulpix back. I agree with you.
Stoked on my number 8. My number 8 is sweet.
Yep.
My number 8 is a card that I've never actually played in Modern. This is a card because it's newer. And that is Munitions Expert. It is black, red for Flash... 1/1 goblin, I believe. I'm going off of memory of what this card actually does, but it is black red flash 1/1 goblin. When munitions expert enters the battlefield, you may have it deal damage to target creature or planeswalker equal to the number of goblins you control. This is purely theoretical, but it's based on the idea that this card was printed and created specifically to give Rakdos goblins a place in Modern, and it's good enough to give them a place in Modern. It's not maybe good enough to make them tier 1, but it's a really good card. It has a lot of things going for it. The CMC is good. The fact that it has flash is really good. The fact that it costs 2 mana and interacts with this card over here is really, really strong when so many of the good goblins are cheap. It's a sweet card. It's a super sweet card. Do you like Munitions Expert?
Yeah. I think it's a little bit of a trap at the moment because I don't think goblins is a deck you should play in a tournament with all of the things going on. But I think that if goblins is a deck, it's going to be on the back of that card. And I think it's really good.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's like, I think it's one of the many things that was done correctly in Horizons, which is that all the cards in that set were pushed for one way or another to just, like, make Modern sweet. It's like, I think you can describe Modern Horizons as the sweetest set ever printed, because everything in there is, like,
yeah.
based entirely off the idea that, like, we need to balance this right on the edge of overpowered, mm-hmm. but like, attractive to want to play.
Sure.
And some of the cards are totally overpowered, but cards like this are exactly the right level yeah. of power.
It's interesting. There's been a lot of really powerful things printed recently. I mean, people have referred to the last 6 months as, like, Urza levels of power level. But I think it's been done in a way that's really interesting, and I've appreciated it.
I totally agree. I think Modern, specifically as a format, I don't know how healthy Modern totally is right now. It feels like the power level of each strategy is so high now that it's easy for one strategy to just dominate because what it's doing is so backbreaking.
I mean, like,
but it does seem like it's shifting and sliding.
There was 16 Okos in the top 8 of last weekend.
100%.
Oko is too good. Too good. My number 7, claim to fame. This guy right here, our preview card.
Yeah, it's a little higher for me, but not too much higher.
It hasn't done anything.
I know. And that's why I felt almost guilty putting it higher, but I just felt like I love that card so much. Sure. I had to.
Part of me wishes it was the opposite. That you got the fame part first. It was flame claim.
Right. That you would play the front half of it to make an attack better, a creature would die or something, or get killed in response, and then the next turn you'd be able to resurrect it.
It's like not nearly as synergistic, but like, I want to be able to reanimate things from my graveyard, and if I could play this out of my graveyard, it would be like an instant amazing card versus what it is now, which is kind of just like...
Yeah.
Especially with Unearth being as good as it is, it's like, this just missed the mark and it makes me sad. But otherwise, it does see play in the now with Unearth and this. You can play both together, which is really cool. And I know that, like, stuff with Burning Tree Emissary is really dope with it because you get your own little lightning elemental out of the deal.
Right, yeah. Yeah. It's acceleration. I mean, that's one of the coolest things about it with Burning Tree Emissary. We have a few people talking about the Vulpix. Let's see. Stick the trash Vulpix back up, please, Ben, says Scared Jubes. The People Have Spoken, says Jason Koski. Let's see here.
Mm-hmm, Vulpix. I think actually the way to do this so that we have a way to structurally analyze this, if we can get the likes up to above 70, we'll put the Vulpix back up.
If we can get the likes up to 70, oh, that's going to happen overnight. That's going to happen right now. Guaranteed.
Yep.
Well, watch.
There you go.
Watch.
Okay. We'll find out. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, like, the Claim Fame is a great card. It was also a preview card, so there's no way I wasn't putting it on our list. I think it's the only Rakdos preview card. We haven't got a preview card of every color combo.
No.
Or every two color combo. We've gotten blue, green, green, white, black, red. That's it.
Let's see here. Jade Wheatley gave y'all a like for Ben's beard. Very much appreciate that, Jade. I wish somebody would say I gave a like because of Alex's sweet costume. I feel like that's something that someone needs to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let him know, guys. Give Alex a pat right on the back.
Right now I'm getting Vulpix likes. Next is your number 6.
Yeah, my number 6.
We'll flip after 5 to me doing them first.
So my number 6 is Rakdos Charm. And Rakdos Charm, the reason I like Rakdos Charm so much is that not only is it really fantastic when you talk about something like a cat combo in Pioneer, or which is obviously not as prominent in Modern, but it is still a deck. People do play cat combo in Modern. Or if you talk about, you know, Kiki Jiki Splinter Twin, which again is not as prominent, the fact that it interacts with that and it also can exile a graveyard at instant speed is one of the most key aspects of that card. Mm-hmm. There's lots and lots and lots of things that destroy the artifacts, and that is significant.
And I think it's actually better now than it used to be because of the fact that Urza decks are so strong. It interacts with both halves of Urza decks in a good way, which it deals with artifacts in play while also being able to exile the sword while it's in the graveyard. So you kind of get a really versatile card. Plus, it kills them when they go infinite with all the tokens. So, like, it's kind of a perfect one-shot against that deck. And since that deck is the best deck in the format, I think Rakdos Charm is pretty underrated at the moment. Someone was asking for most underrated Rakdos card, and it might actually just be Rakdos Charm.
So, Billy Bedford, who is in the chat right now, William is an Action Industries Advisory Board member. He runs our Facebook. Okay. He's a Magic fan, and he's awesome. And thank you, Belford. What's up?
Thank you, Belford.
Yes, and that's exactly... Hero. You are a hero, Belford. We appreciate that. I have always found Rakdos Charm to be the exact same position in Modern for me, which is that it ends up being my 15th sideboard card. Occasionally, if I'm too, like, out of sorts at a tournament, mm-hmm. I'll, like, throw 2 Rakdos Charms in. I've done the exact same thing with Golgari Charm. Those, I feel like, are the 2 that I've played the most of in that kind of slot, where it's like, Like
wear and tear is there for me as well.
Yeah, wear and tear is another one.
Where it's like, what do I do? I'm playing Jeskai and I like need a 15th cyborg card. Well, wear and tear is always good against something. I might as well keep it.
Right, right, right. So Rakdos Charm for me is number six.
My number six is Olivia Valdarin.
Oh, you put it on.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I cut Olivia. It's an honorable mention for me because it only had like one very brief time where it was like a significant card, I feel like.
Like right after Blubberate Elf was banned out of Jund?
Yeah, basically, right? And I actually had Falkenrath Aristocrat on my list.
I did too. I cut that pretty... I've cut that before. I kept one of the two, like, four drops that are good in Jund. I think this has a unique space in the field. I think if there are, like, there are times where this card will be very good.
Yeah.
And we'll have moments that it can make a comeback. I also think just, like, I do want to include some historical facts in how we count these cards, and historical power level, sometimes some things are bad now and they just aren't, they were good forever, but now they're bad. But sometimes things just like fall out of favor for a while. And then the right cards or the right meta happens where like, oh, being able to ping things for one is very valuable. And then being able to mind control things, after that is like game breaking. So like that, there is a reason this card is often in people's sideboard lists in Jund.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, also, because we can agree that when I talked about Demonic Dread, I mean, that's a card that was very good and served a very specific purpose.
Oh, man. We got someone else in the super chat. Ben's beard is sweeter.
Said Sideshow on Acid with a $2 super chat. Thank you so much, Sideshow.
We have a beard versus costume off.
A bearded
dragon versus a bearded face.
Sideshow Who versus wins? Belford.
Super chat decides.
Super chat decides. So Zach Lothamer says, oh, he's responding to somebody else asking the question of how you can get around the Rakdos Charm. You're dead because you have a million creatures move. You have to, yeah, exactly. You cast Rakdos Charm after they have declared how many copies of the creature they're making, which is something that they have to do. It's an arbitrary number, but they still have to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making, you know, 1,200,777 copies, and you tell them that I'm going to, you know, cast it now.
Mm-hmm.
So take that. Alexandro Rosales, why don't you guys have your own game nights? Maybe you can play some Modern and some Pioneer or other formats. We've talked about that. We actually have a really, really cool show we have been working on and concepting that we want to do, and then I had back surgery. So that got kind of put on hold.
Our content expanded, and I went out of the country for a month. So I actually went around the world. We'll talk about that at the end of the podcast, a little bit of a sidebar, but about what has happened over the last month. But basically, we had a bunch of plans on content expansion, and then there's a pause put on it, but that's back because we're back. So there are ideas and plans to expand the content we're creating.
Yeah, we have a crackback right now. Billy Belford with the $2 super chat, continuing to make his presence known here. Beards come and grow. Sweet costumes last forever.
That's true. I have this costume forever. I'm going to wear this at least one GP
forever.
In the next year. One GP in the next year.
So that is...
We're three likes away from the Vulpix coming back. All right, so what's your number five?
Did you already do your number six?
Oh, I haven't done my number six. Oh, mine's Lightning Skill Elemental.
Okay, you put it a little higher.
Yeah. I think it's just been more relevant recently.
Yeah.
And like as far as these cards, like Olivia wasn't relevant, Claim Fame wasn't really been relevant, Rakdos Charm hasn't really been relevant and cut the... Like, yeah, you have a little... I'm interested to see what you have above some of the cards that I put that you have lower than I have, but... this card's really cool. It's seen a lot of play already. Like, there's really cool decks. Both the Elemental deck is sweet, where it reanimates it with the new 2-drop Elemental guy that can, like, reanimate things.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's the other deck that gets it back using stuff like Claim.
So I... looks
and
like...
Not Claim, but...
Looking through here, and no one here in the chat caught this, but I missed my number 7. I skipped from 8 to 6.
Oh, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the Vulpix confused?
The Vulpix is coming back.
We're over 70. Here, I won't put it
over the logo.
Over the logo.
This feels like something is gonna fall on me. I just know it. Watch it. Wait for it. Sideshow on Acid. I concede, Mr. Belford. Thanks, you guys. Have a good night. I'll watch them full later. Date night with the wife. Hey, have a great date night. We thank you for tuning in and watching in the first place. You are making a disastrous mess up there.
It's okay.
But
Merfolk Mistbinder spawn.
You killed Merfolk Mistbinder. You didn't kill it. You wounded it. Yeah, it got gut shot in once.
Vulpix doesn't like Merfolk, right?
Yeah.
It's an ice type. It's a water type. It's freezing it. Give him some water. All right.
This is going to bother the crap out of me. I will say that my number 8, the card that I didn't say, I'm going to reveal in just a second. Oh, no, I said my number 8. My number 7 is the card that you guys need to hear about. Alex is going to fix it.
Yeah, you do. Talk about your card.
If you knock over the camera... Okay, my number seven, and the card I didn't get to talk about already, it's one of the sweetest cards on my whole list. And when you said, I wonder what else is higher on your list, I was like, there's no way this card is higher on the list because it's not that good. I just happen to love it, and it is the card Rise Fall. So this is probably one of the cards on the list I would expect the least people here have any idea what it is because it's very old and it doesn't really see play in Modern. I've just put it in a ton of Modern decks, both halves of it. Now, the side of it that is the most relevant is the side I'm going to talk about. So the card Rise Fall is a split-faced card. It is from, I think it's Dissension. So either Dissension or Guild Pact. I believe it's Dissension. The first half is blue-black. Return target creature card in a graveyard and target creature card in play to their owner's hands. But the side that is specifically Rakdos is black-red, sorcery. Target player reveals two cards at random from his or her hand, then discards each non-land card revealed this way. So what it is a semi, it's a semi Hymn to Turok, kind of. It's like a 70% Hymn to Turok, kind of. And I've always loved this card. I've always thought it was really cool. I've always thought it was strange that it didn't see more play in Modern. I think it's the fact that you can get unlucky and end up spending two mana to get rid of one card, and a good amount of the time that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but otherwise, like, I mean, there are a lot of situations where you're going to play this card for two mana and it's just going to get rid of the cards in their hand. And it's going to end up being a two mana mind rot. Yeah. So I think this card is really good. I've always really liked it. It is my number seven card. I mentioned number six is Rakdos Charm, which puts it up to, you've already done your number six, which means now, Fulpix, alive but injured. Are you going to do your number five now? Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, well, we're going to go the other way.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Now, I think this is going to surprise you. I think you're going to be surprised. I think you're going to be surprised by my number five.
Because you heard me talking about
this? Because I think you thought it was my number one. It's Murderous Red Cap.
I can't believe this is not your number one, considering what I know about you and the number of times that you've played a Murderous Red Cap against me.
I mean, I do love Murderous Red Cap. It might be my favorite red-black card.
Right. Crazy.
But I do not... I mean, even when it was a dominant player in the format, it was a card that saw play as a single card. And it was, in reality, really just a black card even at that point. I mean, it is a hybrid card, so it's, like, weird. But the decks weren't playing red that were playing it. And it was really meant to just more be a top end of a combo piece that sometimes was decent. Now, that being said, it's really cool. That card, that combo is still available in Modern, so it is seeing some play still. But it's never been more of as a one of. It's always just been a one of. And I can't put a card at number one that, A, the decks that were playing it have moved mostly away from it because they're now playing Vizier combo, and B, was never even a four of in the decks it was seeing play in it originally. As much as I love this card.
It is interesting that...
And won game nights with it? I won game nights with this card.
This card's won a lot of games, and I would say you have played this card against me a lot. The other player that I know, Eric Wydetz, has played this card against me a crazy amount. This is one of his favorite cards of all time. I've died a lot to this card. Okay. The thing about this card that blows my mind is it's seemingly always good, even if it's not part of a combo. It's just like seemingly always does what you need it to do.
Sure.
And like usually because the decks that it's in have such a good way of like resetting it or reusing it, even if it doesn't mean necessarily going infinite, just like putting a counter on it or blinking it or something, it's super annoying. It's a really, really, really deceptively powerful card at four mana. You wouldn't think it would be as good as it is, but it just is really, 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 really good.
I was always surprised that it was not the main, like the main replacement for Bloodbraid Elf, right? When Jund kind of lost that as a card when it got banned, I was actually surprised that it was never really the best answer. And partly because you want it to go over the top with it. You want something to be doing with it. But it does so much. It does so much as a card that like you'd think it had some more value. But yeah, here we are.
Yeah.
Number five.
We got another super chat here in the chat. William Belford stepping it up. $5 super chat this time because you're a legend, Belford. You want to win super chat battles, it pays to not have a wife. Don't let anything fall on Ben's back. Ben, do you know about Ellis's unopened third edition boxes? So he's talking about my friend Mark Ellis, who is a very successful stand-up and one of the two Schmoes. The Schmoes know Christian and Mark. They started Schmodown.
Okay.
And Christian has no awareness of Magic at all, but Mark collected Magic cards back in the day and has an enormous collection. I've looked at his collection. He's got tons of revised duels.
Okay.
He's got like beta demonic tutor and like really cool stuff. At one point I was actually thinking of buying a bunch of his collection. But he has old unopened boxes of revised.
He has
a super sick old collection of like sweet stuff. So that's what Belford is talking about there. I am going to talk about my number five card, and that is, I believe, just going to double check, it is Claim Fame. The card to Alex's right, so obviously the front half of that card is one black sorcery, a return target creature card with a converted mana cost two or less from the graveyard to the battlefield, and the back half of the card, I think the Aftermath side, is that what it is?
Aftermath? Or is it?
Aftermath, yes. Aftermath, red one, target creature gets +2/+0 and haste until end of turn. I love this card. I've always loved this card. I've always thought this card like did more than I think it's done. I've always believed it should have been able to do more. And I've always been sort of surprised that it hasn't shown up more often. It kind of is a bummer that Unearth just like took its thunder, right? Like it definitely feels like Unearth got printed and like Claim to Fame is just a lot less good now.
I think they wanted an Unearth effect to be good in Modern and then Claim to Fame didn't hit the mark as well as they'd like. And that's why they just like, ugh, let's just print Unearth.
I think the thing about this card that I find the most surprising is that this card alongside Young Pyromancer seems like it's such a good, like, how could this not be good kind of a thing.
I think it's just too fair. Like, yeah. I think the problem is that Modern needs to be 30% fairer than it is for Claim Fame to be a card that is good, or they need to print a card that's like kind of like Mere Superior, but better, like not just a like a big dork, like a two drop that does something crazy, but you can't cast it from your hand. That then this lets you get into play, and we're not there yet.
Yeah, it's. I think for me with this card, like I like Coival a lot. I think that card is super sweet. But in all reality, this card plays with Baleful Strix way better than it plays with Coival, because you don't have to play four colors. And if you have Baleful Strix and you can just play straight up Grixis with Claim Fame in Modern, I think that's a lot more realistic.
Yeah,
because agreed. Being able to flash it back, you know, getting your Baleful Strix just from the graveyard back into play and for one mana drawing a card, and then if you have extra mana, being able to staple it onto your Baleful Strix and attack for three in the air is really good and a thing that like probably would win games out of nowhere often. Like
taking the sunglasses off.
Yeah, I had to take my glasses
it's like
off.
Hard
there.
To read the.
They were hurting my head. So that's my pick for my number five card is Claim Fame.
All right, number four. Another card that I think you probably have higher than I do, or maybe exactly where I have it. Terminate.
It's a little higher for me.
Okay. This is one red, one black. Destroy target creature that can't be regenerated instant. It is the best. And when I say this, the best instant speed Doomblade in Modern has seen a ton of play. I have this a little bit farther down the list, partially because I have the next card on my list just above it. And I think that there are too many significant things that this now misses in Modern that make it not as good as other options. And literally, of my three better cards, two of them I think are just better than Terminate and should be played instead of Terminate. Sometimes you want to play like a 2-1 split or a 3-1 split, and like, but like even this against stuff like Assassin's Trophy, I think like I'd rather play Assassin's Trophy. I'd rather play Abrupt Decay. I'd rather play the next card I'm going to talk about. Yeah, it's really good, and it is kind of the bar for this type of effect in Modern. I just think there's a bunch of things that are above the bar.
Somebody's asking here in the chat, Zach. No. It's not Zach. It's Carter Miller. Is Strix too good for Modern? We've had this conversation before, but now that we have the evidence of having Icefang Coital in the format, what do you think? How much better is Strix than Coital?
I think the argument people often make against Strix is like, oh, but it makes it so fair creature decks aren't good in Modern. When were they ever good in Modern?
Yeah, I think...
And like the one fair creature deck that like is about attack... The two fair creature decks that are about attacking with big dudes, one of them is... Eldrazi, there's no world I'm ever going to live in where I'm going to be sad if Eldrazi is slightly worse. And two is Merfolk, which the fact that Baleful Strix is blue and its mana cost means that all of the Merfolk are unblockable. So,
yeah, I think for me, the biggest part of Strix that is a problem is actually the fact that it's an artifact, and artifacts are so easy to interact with so many different cards in Modern. Like, there are so many things that give you a bonus for it being an artifact. There are so many ways to abuse the artifact type that it just adds an extra element. I mean, it's already the fact that you don't need the Snowlands for it to have Death Touch. Like, that's just better, but I don't know that that's that much better. Like, the decks that want Coital have... It's not hard to make it have Death Touch.
Right.
For me, I think the fact that it's an artifact just means like there are that many more ways for this already abusively good card to just fit into strategies it has no business being in and just make them even better. I think it's not, I don't think it necessarily makes it too good, but I think that one aspect, if Coital on a power level is, let's just say, like a 6.5 or a 7 out of 10 in Modern, I feel like Strix is a solid 8. Like, sure. I feel like it's a solid 2 points higher.
Yeah, yeah, if not a nine. I agree.
Yeah, so that would be my comment there. You just talked about Terminate. I'm going to jump in with a card I know you have higher.
Well, because if I haven't said it yet and it's this high.
That's how I know.
Yeah.
And I would say it's Fulminator Mage.
Yeah.
Fulminator Mage is my number four. Fulminator Mage is a 2/2 creature. It's an elemental with hybrid black red, one colorless. Sacrifice Fulminator Mage, destroy target non-basic land. This card was really, really, really big at one point in, what's it called, Dex? Living End Dex. Because obviously you would play it and sack it and then get it back really, really easily. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a stone rain for Modern that you would get back and be able to just like nuke all their lands with. Mm-hmm. It's still really good. It still sees some play. It's never been as much of a player in the format as I think I would have expected. Even now, it's like a sideboard card with a couple slots. But often by the time you're casting a 3-mana creature, unless it's in an unfair deck like Living End, it's a little slow. You want to be able to like... I mean, a card like... People don't play Ghost Quarter as much now. They play Field of Ruin, right? Mm-hmm. In that slot. But like, I think just basically having a creature that is Stone Rain in Modern, it's good enough, but it's not abusively good. So that's why, to me, it's like number four. It's definitely good.
Sure.
You know, I think if this card somehow had cost... Like, if this card had some drawback and it cost like 2 mana, but it couldn't be played, say, until they had 3 lands or something like that. If there had been some other thing that had just made it cheaper... probably it would be like really, really, really good and super prominent, but it still feels like it's never more than a sideboard card.
Okay.
Almost ever. That's my point.
I would say that a lot of the cards that we currently have on this list can be classified that way though. I mean, are there like the removal spells? I'll talk about it when it comes up. Want to know my next card?
Yeah.
Yeah. Number three, Dreadbore. You brought it way earlier in the list.
This is my number 10.
Yeah. This is my number. That's why I was very surprised.
Yeah.
It is the premier red-black removal spell now. I mean, with the fact... Between War of the Spark, Modern Horizons, M20, and Oko, like, the best Planeswalkers ever printed were among those sets, which is saying a lot. Like someone made a point that of, like, the top five Planeswalkers ever printed into Modern... Four of them, if not all five, came out within the last year.
I think are you saying that you think that the Planeswalkers, all, like Teferi and all these cards, Narset, Oko, these are just clearly better than like Jace the Mind Sculptor or Liliana of the Veil?
Yes.
Like, really?
Yeah. I think Teferi, Narset, and Oko are all better than Liliana of the Veil, Jace the Mind Sculptor, and Teferi 5 mana.
3 mana Teferi?
Yeah.
Just because of, just strictly based on mana cost and the fact that like they're showing up right now. You think Oko is better than Jason Mindscope?
I think Oko is the best Planeswalker ever printed, maybe.
That seems like recency bias.
It just placed 16 copies in the first major Modern event that it was legal in.
But that's
in the top
like,
8.
But it literally...
It it's going to be banned in like 5 formats tomorrow. It's like very problematic, yeah.
Wow, I was just thinking like people.
It's like
would react.
It's like insane in Vintage. It's insane in Legacy. It's insane in Modern. It's insane in Standard.
Interesting.
Jace didn't do that quickly. Yeah.
I thought people would like react and adjust. It didn't. It never. Even now, when I think about that card and I try to explain, I mean, I think that's probably an interesting thing to do. Can you explain to the Modern audience why Oko is so good? Like, I think
because it negates pretty much every single card played in Magic. Between artifacts and creatures, just makes them not a thing that matters anymore. I mean, the easy way to explain it is that who thought that Beast Within, getting a free Beast Within every turn on an almost indestructible permanent that also gains you life, that also then can randomly mind control anything that is a threat bigger than the Beast Within every turn would be good, right?
Wow.
Like, it does all of those things. Like, the fact that both of its abilities are pluses means you can't really fight it. It's, like, really hard to kill, and when you kill it, they're gaining tens of life. By you attacking Oko instead of their life total, while also making food, which gains them life, while also making every single creature and or artifact you play that could possibly hate someone out into a 3/3 elf that does nothing.
So what you're thinking is, based on the power of Planeswalkers right now, it's a recency bias to make Dreadbore this high. That it's, you think it's that much better because of how dominant Planeswalkers currently are. So it jumps way up your list, whereas like, say a year ago, probably this card's a lot lower.
A year ago, I'd say it's still probably in my top five. Like, I still think it was really good. I mean, remember a year ago, Teferi and Jace were making Blue-White Control the best deck in the format, and decks playing Liliana of the Veil weren't that far behind.
Yeah.
I don't think Planeswalkers were bad last year. I think they were all still really good. But the fact that right now, the best deck in the format is playing almost 4 Okos, 3 to 4 Okos in the main deck. With Oko, the second best deck in the format, or not the second best deck in the format, but another very good deck in the format, which is Jund, is playing Renin Sixes and Liliana of the Veils, and you have the blue-white decks of the world, which are also top tier, you know, in the format to some extent, playing Narset and two different Jaces and two different Teferis. Like, this might be the best removal spell in the format because it doesn't give them anything. Like, Assassin's Trophy is the only other card I can think of that answers all of these problems, and Assassin's Trophy gives them a land.
Yeah, I guess I mean, I put it lower on my list based mostly on the fact that
historically, it's not as good as Terminate, but historically, Modern was much more creature-centric.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess I wasn't really acknowledging the fact that the recent results in tournaments, specifically the very recent results in tournaments, but you're right. I mean,
even before Oko, yeah, like
Renin Six, I was just sort of forgetting how much of an impact that card had, right? Plus 3 minutes to Teferi and Narset.
Well, the only reason Renin Six hasn't been relevant is because of how powerful Oko was. And
then,
like,
you have 4 mana Karn got printed. Yeah, I mean.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Tron and Karns in general. Like, yeah, like, Planeswalkers printed in the last year and a half, or 2 years, have been insane. And Dreadbore is maybe the most efficient answer to them ever in
so
Modern.
So, we probably need to do, soon, again, the top 10 Planeswalkers in Modern.
Yeah,
there's been so many printed. We at one point did all of the Planeswalkers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever want to do that again.
No, it was our, like, 100 episode. We live streamed the whole thing. It was the first episode we ever live streamed.
But yeah, okay, fair enough. Dreadbore. Yeah, I mean, I'll give you some credit on that. I think it probably deserves to be higher on my list. I hadn't really considered just, like, how dominant Planeswalkers are in Modern at this exact moment.
So just so we're all aware, I just elked Ben's argument. Okay.
He's so
proud. All right, number two.
My number three.
Oh, you're number three.
My number three is going to be Terminate. And it's funny, I now I'm feeling like Terminate and Dreadbore need to be closer to switched, actually, on my list, for exactly the reasons you just talked about. I was sort of thinking that Terminate, like, classically, obviously, the Grixis control decks or Jund or any deck, like, it was just that sweet.
I'm just going to steal your hat in victory.
You're going to put it on your Dilophosaurus fins there?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just get it nice and settled there on top of your head?
Mm-hmm. How's it look?
Great.
Cool. Perfect. That's the victory hat right there. That's a victory hat.
Yeah. So
I won the super chat too. It feels good. It feels good day.
You didn't win the super
good day
chat.
For Dilophosaurus. No, Billy Belford's on my side.
No, he's on my side. The beard.
Yes, the beards come and go. Dinosaur costumes live forever.
You're right. I forgot. I'm so out of sorts. I'm so sad.
Oh, it's a great return for Alex Kessler. Good return to form.
In general, I think Terminate is really, really good. I've always been sort of surprised at how much people favored Terminate. Like, I always felt like that card was less powerful than it got credit for. Okay. Just the fact that it's instant, though, and it doesn't have, like, any of the drawbacks that, say, a card like Fatal Push has of only targeting X or Y kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. It's just a straight-up kill. Is really, really good. But thinking about it more and more, I do think, like, 5 mana Teferi comes down and... And that's, like, outside the top 5 Planeswalkers in Modern. But that card comes down, and I'm thinking, as playing the decks I like to play, I would so much rather have Dreadbore in my hand than, like, just obviously Terminate. Mm-hmm. But, like, it just feels necessary to be able to kill things for 2 mana.
I mean, that being said, I think we need better removals than Dreadbore. Like, the fact that Dreadbore, a sorcery speed card that kills creatures or Planeswalkers, I don't think is good enough for the way we have to deal with Planeswalkers nowadays. And I think that's going to be... You know, one debating this, what we were going to talk about this episode, the reason we went top 10 record us is we haven't done a top 10 episode almost in a year. And the fact that it's spooky, it's Halloween. I needed to come with a Halloween subject and talking about Oko again, right after Michael and Ruben talked about Oko 2 weeks ago, felt like a little bit of a, let's, like, take a moment. But I do think reevaluating, like, not only what are the top 10 Planeswalkers, but maybe what are the top 10 ways to deal with Planeswalkers?
Billy Belford with the $2 super chat here. I support the costume, not that playoff beard. What he's referring to, if you guys are wondering with my playoff beard, is that in the Movie Trivia Schmodown, which is a thing that I compete on, it's this movie trivia league, I made it to the singles final of the tournament. The teams tournament has not yet been played, but the singles tournament, I'm in the finals currently, and I won my semifinals match on one leg, barely supporting my weight with a golf club as I had started to grow out the beard. So now I play for the tournament final on December 7th, and if I win it later that night, I actually play to win the belt. So I'm not shaving until I've won the belt. And that is why it's referred to as a playoff beard, in case you guys are wondering. So that is my number three, is Terminate.
You're taking your hat off.
Yeah.
It's, like, really hot as it is.
Wearing a pretty hot costume.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
What's your number two?
My number two is Fulminator Mage.
Yeah, I figured.
I think it's very obvious what number one is. But yeah, Fulminator Mage is just... It's seen a lot of main deck play in Modern. It's seen a lot of sideboard play, but that sideboard play has been very important. I still keep it as like a starting position of a two spots in the Jun sideboard and Grixis sideboards. The fact that like Tron is as powerful as it always is, and it's pretty much one of the only good answers against Tron that isn't Field of Ruin. Like right. Those are kind of your only options. Has kept it to being an important spot for me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's a really good card. I mean, land decks continue to make an impact. You know what's one thing I was like only just realizing the other day, and I feel like I want to try to find a way to abuse this, is that that cycle of common lands from Eldraine, they're land types. So like the spell island, mountain. I didn't realize that. That's really cool. And the way that interacts with fetch lands in Modern is really cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, one thing that is kind of not sad, but because of the travel schedule and because of also how many review episodes we did last year, the first half of this year, we kind of didn't do a Throne of Eldraine review episode. We kind of just talked about cards as they are previewed. So we didn't really go over each one with our audience to talk about like which ones we think are exceptionally special. What's cool is now we've gotten a little bit of what that looks like, and Oko is very powerful, but the blue one is the insane one, right? Like, you can just,
it gets you spells back. I mean, the way that works with fetch lands and, like, extra turns cards is insane.
Just Cryptic Command. You can literally Cryptic Command every turn forever, like, soft locking people out of the game.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you have enough fetch lands in your deck.
No, you just bounce the land.
Oh, you bounce the land, play it,
and counter their spell, bounce counter.
Right. Yeah, it's really, really, really good in Modern. So that's going to be your number two.
Zach Reese, I am wearing a Dilophosaurus costume because it is our Rakdos Top 10 Spooky Halloween episode. Ben is Jeff Goldblum / Indiana Jones.
I don't have on my glasses anymore. My number two is Murderous Redcap. Yeah, I just have felt like Red Cap has been such an impactful, significant card in Modern for such a long time. Obviously, it's a little bit less significant now, like you said, with the Vizier combo being sort of the primary way to do that. Yep. But it still has just felt like that card was always good. Mm-hmm. Like, and that card, the power level of that card has always been so good that it didn't even feel like necessarily it was played as much as it should be. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Modern now as a format is, you know, let's say you play it, and then let's say you sacrifice it and get the third damage. That's not going to take care of a lot of the planeswalkers you need to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
But it is really, really good, and I think based on its history and how powerful of a card it has shown to be, I do think that Murderous Redcap is fantastic. So
part of me is like really, now that Pioneer exists, I would actually be really interested to see Wizards take a different approach towards Modern, in the sense that we have a world where there's going to be this kind of more, I don't know, safer version of Magic, Eternal Magic. And so with Legacy kind of being as difficult it is as a barrier of entry, Modern is difficult to enter, but easier than Legacy. I would love to just see next Modern Horizons 2 have Force of Will and Brainstorm it, or just Force of Will in it and just like rip the Band-Aid off.
Well,
and then allow just Birthing Pod to be unbanned. Like let some of these banned cards that were like just on the edge, like Birthing Pod was banned partially because it was too powerful and too consistent at making those decks. But on the other hand, it was also partially banned because of a diversity banning, right? It was like, we have to ban Treasure Cruise. We have to ban Dig Through Time. But we're going to ban all of these cards right before the Pro Tour. And the format's just going to literally go back to where it was in August. So we had to do something beyond that. And I think you could just bring Birthing Pod back.
One of the things we talked last week about on the Masters of Pioneer episode Michael and I hosted. And by the way, guys, if you're watching, you're curious, we're going to start doing a little bit of Pioneer content on this channel. Not anything crazy, but we want to start doing a short form video maybe every single week talking about the format because we're excited about it. We actually think it's going to be a great format, and it definitely feels very much in the wheelhouse. We know a lot of the cards. We're very familiar with a lot of the strategies. So look out for that. We're not going to do a full podcast about it, but there will be video content about it. I definitely feel like the realization that Wizards sort of had about Modern and the size of Modern, mixed with the fact that Legacy is so hard for them to support outside of like fringe tournament support, they can't really encourage people to get into Legacy based on the limitations of the format.
Mm-hmm.
I think something like you're talking about is a really good idea. Let's unban some of the cards in Modern that have been, you know, like too powerful for a while. I think there's so many things in Modern that are so powerful anyway. I don't think a lot of that stuff even is too powerful. And let's make Pioneer the format that's going to be like Modern used to feel in terms of like sort of more fair, more balanced decks. And you can't really slow down what's happened. There's too many Magic cards that have been printed. Modern just has that, just has what it has. I mean, how much better is having Force of Will in Modern right now than having Force of Negation? Is it 25% better? 30% better?
How much better? Well,
you can't. I mean, you can't.
It's
really
hard to say that because I think Modern Horizons has put so much power into Modern that like Force of Negation isn't enough to handle it.
I'm like, saying how much better is it than Force of Negation? So like you can cast a Force of Negation for three mana. Yeah. You can just cast it for three. Mm-hmm. That's a little expensive, but it's a thing you can do in Modern. Mm-hmm. Hard casting Force of Will is something you will almost never do. So it's a different. It's really a different card.
It's a different. And part of the issue and difference is being able to counter creatures. Right, Force of Negation is just instant sorceries.
It's non-creature, yeah.
It's non-creature. Being able to counter creatures, like being able to counter an Urza is like super relevant.
Yeah.
Being like that, like there's cards that Force of Negation doesn't hit. And also, so many things now interact on, especially with Teferi in the format. Like, I don't know what Force of Will would be too good. Like, blue-white Teferi just locking Force of Will out of the game. Yeah, I think it would be fine. I agree that Brainstorm is such a integral feel for Legacy and how Legacy works that bringing it into Modern could just make it feel too Legacy-esque, but I also think that Brainstorm is one of the most fun cards ever printed, so it's hard for me to really decide on that card. But I think Force of Will as a Band-Aid is one of the better ways to fight against some of the degeneracy that's happened in Modern over the last year.
It definitely feels to me like
or decade.
Some of the stuff we're talking about, oh my god, just watching the video of you in this dinosaur suit flailing your hands about is just fantastic. The viewers must be having so much fun.
I'm hoping you're having fun, viewers. If you're having fun, leave a like.
Give a thumbs up. Give a comment. Throw in a super chat if you want to just thank us.
Super chat's really helpful. We appreciate it. It's how I afforded this costume.
Yeah, 100%. That's what we use it for.
It's not. That was
a personal cost. So
honestly, all the money we get from Super Chat on the podcast goes into making the podcast happen. It helps pay for Marshall, who puts the card files. It's all the equipment that's letting this do the live stream. It's making it all, and it's so thankful. Without you guys, we couldn't be able to do this.
Patreon and the Super Chat help us lose less money by doing this podcast.
Yes, yeah.
This is the reality. So what I will say is that, you know, my number two is Murderous Redcap because of the way that it affected old Modern. It doesn't really feel like it has as much of a place in new Modern, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. So we have the same number one, obviously.
How often has our number one be the same? I feel like it's at least 75% of the time. Maybe less?
Yeah, 60 to 70.
Our top two is often exactly the same, and then we just sometimes switch them.
It's hard because so often, I mean, there are some episodes, like I feel like you had Electrolyzed way higher than I had it. I seem to remember, like, there are definitely episodes where, like, a role player that's not actually intrinsically that powerful, that's been very impactful in Modern, mm-hmm. ends up making the top of one of our lists. But then you have an episode like this where it's like kind of undeniable how good this number one card is.
Yeah, the fact that you thought I would put Murderous Redcap as number one. I heard him and Michael talking about it while I was hiding outside in my dinosaur cave.
It just feels like Jack Pabich says, do you guys actually lose money?
Yeah,
over
we do.
5 years of the show, absolutely.
No, even monthly at this point.
Yeah.
We still do. That's why the Patreon's important.
That's very important.
But we do it because we love it and we love you guys and we love that you guys like listening to us. And obviously we want to get to the point where it's least self-sufficient, but at the moment, yeah.
Yeah. What I will say is that, well, Murderous Redcap is a very good card. Kolgon's Command, which is red, black, one, instant. It's one of the commands, so choose two. And the four modes on the card are deals two damage to any target, return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand, target player discards a card, or destroy target artifact. It's doing a lot of things that you want to be able to do in Modern. So, like, having a shatter as half of your card is great, right? Having the fact that you can instant speed discard something out of their hand, which is not an effect.
Did we tell the people that it's K Command?
Yeah.
It's Call Command.
Yeah.
Kolgon's Command. I was reading the chat. It's great.
Yeah.
It's
and it is, I mean, it's the bane of my existence and the fact that, like, my favorite deck I ever built in Modern played both Aether Vial and Mirror Superior, so, like, ruined me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's printing a race to your deck, like.
Pretty much, like, single-handedly, yeah. Even just the fact that I could, like, Burning Tree Emissary into Mirror Superior on turn two, and then just turn three, you would just kill Burning Tree Emissary and destroy Mirror Superior with one card was pretty rough.
I mean, it is the card that kind of, from the very beginning, my argument of, like, you can just unban Stoneforge Mystic and it would be fine was always true, because it's kind of the same thing, right? They play a Stoneforge Mystic, they go get a Batterskull, they then flash in Batterskull for another two mana on the next turn, and you K-Command the Batterskull and kill the Stoneforge Mystic for one card. So it kind of erases the card advantage and the mana advantage from Stoneforge Mystic on one facing. I mean, it plus Snapcaster Mage has been kind of a format staple since this card was printed. It's what created Grixis Control decks. Like, Grixis Control did not exist before K-Command was printed.
Yeah, because, I mean, this card, then back then, they would play it with Jace Friend's Prodigy, because obviously you would loot, and you would discard, and then you would use the Jace, you'd flashback a spell, it would die, then you'd return the Jace to your hand, you'd replay the Jace. It was really, really, really good, and it continues to be good in all of the decks that play Black-Red. It's just a really useful card in Modern, so... That is the number one. I think that's about as much as we can kind of say about Kolaghan's Command. I mean, anybody who's ever played that card knows how sweet it is. It's one of my favorite cards to see in my opening hand in any format I've ever played it in. That card is just fantastic. Generally fantastic.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's gonna be the top Rakdos cards. Any super, super sick honorable mentions that made your list?
None. There's like one Dreadhorde Arcanist. Not Arcanist. Dreadhorde.
The other one.
The one that when it like has a Slith ability, and then when it dies, it does damage to everything. Whenever you sack a thing, do a damage.
Yeah, Judith Scourge Diva.
No. That's whenever a creature dies, do a damage to any target. Which she is also good. She's probably on my list.
Yeah.
But there's the standard all-star. Not all stars
because Oko
exists. No, it's right back. I like literally have a deck with it.
Interesting.
I will find it while you talk about your honorable mention next one.
Yeah.
Talk about Judith.
I mean, Judith is sweet. Like, I definitely like that card. It was a card that I expected there was a chance was going to make more of an impact in Modern. I think everybody was a little surprised that didn't really, because it's a human. Black, red, 1/2/2 human shaman, legendary creature. Other creatures you control get +1/+0. Whenever a non-token creature you control dies, Judith, Scourge Diva, deals 1 damage to any target. I mean, this card, in theory, should be good in humans, right? Like, probably should. Mm-hmm. This card feels like probably if there's ever going to be a deck that's really aggressive, that wants to sacrifice creatures that are recursive and bring them back, that's in black-red.
Chat found it at the same time. Mayhem Devil.
Oh, yeah. I know
which
that
is
card.
A red-black one, devil. Whenever a player sacrifices a permanent Mayhem Devil, deals 1 damage. Yes!
I think we got to wrap things up. We've gone pretty long here. My back is starting to kill me, sitting down here for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And thank you
for being my Sam Neill and my Dilophosaurus.
Yeah, this was a fun episode, guys. Thank you all for watching. Thanks for listening. We appreciate all of the support. We're trying to do this live more of the time. Let us know in the comments. Do you like it live? Do you think it's better when it's more edited down? We want to know what you guys think. Do you enjoy being here, part of the conversation? Thank you to everybody in the chat for interacting with us.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. And make sure to follow us on Twitter. I'm at Cass Wiley.
You can find me at Ben Bateman Media.
Make sure to subscribe, and there's a like button. Make sure you hit the like button. We brought it up. But also there's a bell that like lets you get notifications when we go live, so that when we go live in the future, you'll get like a push notification on your phone and be like, oh, I can catch Ben and Alex, and he'll probably be in a different costume.
Right. And as Alex mentioned, patreon.com/TheMMCast. Even if you go donate $1 a month, literally anything you give us helps so much to keep this podcast going. We are hoping to expand into more content. We had big plans before I went down and Alex started traveling the world. So we will be back with more cool stuff soon.
You know, if you donate on Patreon, I'm going to let our Patreon name our Vulpix.
The Vulpix?
Yeah, they get the name.
The patrons can name the Vulpix?
Yeah.
How do they do that?
If you go and I'll make a post being named this Vulpix, and then people can put names in, and whatever has the most likes gets to name it within reason, and I have the ability to vote it because I veto.
If it's inappropriate. all right, guys. Thanks.
Aim for cuteness. All right. Thanks, guys. Love you. You're the best. Rah!
Bye, Erwan.
Thank you for your attention. See you later, alligator.
This has been a production of Time Traveler Media, sending podcasts into the future.